ran into a brick wall, or to be more precise, a dry stone dike. He now has his own dry stone walling business and has never been happier. He joins us now. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Kay. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. How do you go from being a car salesman to a dry stone waller?
Well, good question. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you, but it's happened. You know, I think it was a combination of things of me kind of potentially chasing a career that was more monetary based as opposed to focus on something that would make me happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I first started off my kind of working journey. I was focused on money, instead of trying to find that balance of getting good money and finding something that makes you happy. So, yeah, that's kind of the underlying reason for it, I guess, of me becoming a dry stone waller.
In the latter years that you were working in car sales, and it sounds as if you were becoming a little bit disenchanted and thinking, well, maybe this isn't for me, and so keeping an eye out for something else, I get all of that, but you were drawn far over to the left, weren't you?
Big time, yeah. I mean, it was, and it happened quite quickly as well. For me, leaving car sales in potential position where it's a kind of top goal of working in car sales, like a high-end brand, very kind of niche garage, to kind of go in dry stone wall, it was a space of, like, you're talking a month and a half, that quick. But I was lucky to get onto a training bursary for the Dry Stone Walling Association.
Uh-huh.
So I was really lucky to get that position, and they partnered me up with a professional dry stone waller named Steve Denham up in Aberdeenshire. Scottish Stoneworks is his company. So I got the privilege of working with him for just over a year whilst getting paid and getting trained, and more importantly, kind of qualified. Very left field, yeah.
Well, we've actually got with us Dr. Richard Love from the South East Scotland branch of the Dry Stone Walling Association. Chairman he is, and also an advanced dry stone waller. Hi there, Richard.
Hello.
Hi. So the Dry Stone Walling Association that Martin has just mentioned, tell us a bit more about that.
Well, it's a charity that's been going for over 40 years. I was its chairman about 10 years ago, or up to about 10 years ago, and it was formed really as a way of getting the interest in the craft improved and increased, because it was fading away in the 60s because of mechanisation of agriculture. So the association is really there to promote the craft and get people interested and to train them, just like Martin's been describing.
You know, the question that I haven't asked yet, and I should, is, you know, what exactly is dry stone walling for people who don't know?
It's essentially the oldest form of stone construction. I mean, it's been going for over 5,000 years in this country, up in Scarborough in Orkney. It uses just stone placed very carefully, so that each stone sits upon two other stones, and by the weight of the stone and the friction, it manages to stay together if it's built in the correct way. And we train people in the same principles that would have been used thousands of years ago, and it's still relevant today in all sorts of agricultural, but also modern uses in gardens for features and all sorts of other things that people can get interested in asking for.
I mean, Martin, you were saying that it happened really pretty quickly for you. Did you go from zero to being qualified, or is this something you've always had an interest in?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's intrinsic. I can't explain why I've always liked dry stone walling, and that might sound a bit daft to people. I mean, but it's a kind of a natural connection with building with natural materials, I guess. And the whole heritage aspect, I always like things that are a bit more niche, a bit more kind of quirky, and that's what kind of drew me to dry stone walling. And also, the area that I'm based in, Perthshire, there's very little professional dry stone wallers. And I don't feel bad saying this, because there's still dry stone wallers there. But age-wise, they're maybe thinking about potentially, in maybe the next kind of 5-10 years, stopping dry stone walling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge thing for me in Perthshire. That's why my company, Dry Stone Walling Perthshire, is there to kind of carry on that legacy of these kind of guys that have been doing it in the area. So, yeah.
What do you get out of it? You know, when you're in the midst of a job, what do you get out of it that you didn't get from, you know, selling elite cars?
I'm really interested in. That grows. I mean, in fact, the first time I met Richard, he said something to me. He said, you better watch out because dry stone walling gets under your skin. And that was a kind of, putting it lightly, it does become quite encompassing, if that makes sense. It's just a satisfaction of working with people that obviously want to pay to have dry stone walling done on their property, their farm, their estate, their front garden, in front of their new house, and working with those people to build something that, in my opinion, looks much better than any other kind of boundary feature you could build.
Mm-hmm. And does your wife share your passion? I believe she got a bit of a shock when you said, I've handed him a notice.
Yeah, I mean, that was more of a kind of a family-based thing. I mean, she's been so supportive about the whole starting a new business and going away training and what have you. You know, she didn't, I wouldn't say she's as much of an enthusiast as dry stone walling as me, but she's been really supportive along the whole way. So, yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah. So Richard, how easy is it for people to get involved?
Well, there is the association, which we've already mentioned, which has a website, which perhaps I'd better give its address, www.dswa.org.uk, and that will give them links to branches in the area that they can then register on training courses. But the main reason that Martin and I are sort of hoping to talk about this is that we're trying to set up a new training site in Scotland to allow people to take more intensive training and take people on beyond just the basic starting point of, you know, 1 or 2 day training, which most places would offer. So we've teamed up with the Scottish Lyme Centre Trust in Charlestown in Fife to develop this much bigger, more advanced site, but it's all rather held in advance because of the pandemic at the moment, so we can't really do much practically until that the restrictions are removed.
Yeah, though nonetheless, you know, this period of time that we have lived through, I think a lot of people are reassessing their priorities and perhaps thinking of when the conditions allow changing the direction that they're in. So who knows, when that time comes, you may well be flooded with inquiries.
You already are.
Well, there you go. There you go. Dr. Richard Love, thank you very much indeed. And Martin Tyler, thanks to you, and best of luck in your new venture.
It's not just me.